This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at FullyCookedBacon.com. That's FullyCookedBacon.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. You're listening to the best of America Tonight. Florida, for some news tonight. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney here on ATN. So a man with a gun at the Orlando airport has been taken into custody. There was a standoff. At first it sounded like it was almost a hoax, but it was no hoax. There was a bit of a standoff. Apparently what happened was this man was hoping to be taken out by police. And so the good news is immediately they got to people. They tweeted out about what was happening at the airport, because imagine how busy this time of year is. It happened on Tuesday night, and there was a man with a gun in the terminal. No shots were fired. The gist of it was, after speaking with a crisis negotiator, the suspect did that apparently that's what he was hoping he would get it, they would come after him. It happened in the rental car area at the airport. So, you know, there was craziness for people who are renting cars, where someone came out and screamed, "There's a guy with a gun. Take cover, he has a huge gun," and people weren't sure what was going on. They called 911, and you know, that was it. So that's when that whole thing unfolded. The airport said planes were due to arrive. They were affected. Flight tracking websites said that some flights were still departing. There was minimal, however, impact to the airport operations, which is very surprising. The FAA listed a group stop for the airport known by the three-letter code, which is the Orlando code, MCO, and people were trying to figure out what was going on. The one thing that was a mess was there was massive traffic backups on the airport roads, of course. There were police cars with emergency lights flashing outside, reporters tweeting photos of the massive traffic jam and whatnot. So from that point of view, if you were headed to the airport and you were caught in that, you would have no clue what was happening. Some of the, I'll call them the quick hits of what happened over the weekend and what's being discussed heading into this week, was you had Jeremy Joseph Christian, who was charged with murder and aggravated assault after cops in Portland say he stabbed three men, shouting racial slurs at two women on a train in Portland on Friday. Christian, during his final, or initial, I shouldn't say final, his initial court appearance, was shouting, "You call it terrorism, I call it patriotism." The Pentagon gets some high fives, because from Vandenberg Air Force Base, they were able to shoot down a mock warhead over the Pacific. They launched a missile to be able to intercept it, which is key, because that protects, of course, U.S. territory from what? A possible attack by that nutball, Kim Jong-un. So if there was a North Korea attack, we know that we're capable of doing that, and that's a big deal. No question about it. Very, very big deal. We get back to Russia, 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 meaning Michael Flynn, the former National Security Advisor, is saying he's going to provide documents to the Senate Intelligence Committee. It's part of that investigation into Russia's meddling, supposedly, into the 2016 election. So Flynn's decision came after he invoked his Fifth Amendment protection against self-incrimination. So that makes you kind of curious, doesn't it? First he's not doing it, then he's going to do it. What are these documents? You know, what are these documents going to show? And then there's the story about comedian Kathy Griffin. And the story about Kathy Griffin is that she apologized after appearing in a photo posted online Tuesday holding what looked like President Donald Trump's bloody severed head. So the photo stirred massive controversy on social media. A lot of people on Twitter calling for her to be jailed. So then she went on and did a live mea culpa where she said, "I'm sorry, I went too far. I was wrong." She, before she said the apology, she said that her and her photographer are going to have to move to Mexico to avoid federal prison for the collaboration, their latest collaboration. What this means for Kathy Griffin, though, with CNN will be interesting, because immediately CNN was contacted, and why would CNN care? She does that New Year's Eve deal with Anderson Cooper. So at this point, they're not saying, mum is the word, they're not saying whether or not she's going to be invited back to do that. Whether all will be forgiven there or no, she won't be on that show any longer, because she certainly was edgy for CNN, but they thought it worked for them, and I don't know. When you get political, that's the thing, period. It's funny. Comedy and politics are married in some ways and work in some ways. In some ways, they don't, right? Because why? How do we live, people? We know this, right? We live where politics and sports are. We're like, it's like sports teams, me versus you and we and us and all that. And so her joke, again, especially a gruesome anti-Trump photo shoot. Boy, I don't know how. There's even there you have to think when you're a comedian, are you kidding? That's not going to go over well. It's not going to go over well. And it didn't. Does it cost her the CNN gig? Does it mean it costs her anything else? I mean, you know, who knows? Again, even for comedians now, especially the world we live in, there is absolutely a line. And, you know, I always say, listen, we live in America, and whether it's poor taste and you hate it or it matches or doesn't matter, you don't have to pay attention to it. But when it explodes all over the place and it swings, the pendulum swings in a certain direction, you can't peel back from that. You just can't. It's very, very tough to do. How about this? Since we're talking about appropriate, inappropriate, and what it'll get you, I was also reading this story of what was getting a lot of buzz, and I was reading the story of Maxime Hamou being banned from the French Open for trying to kiss and grope a reporter. Are you kidding me? So this is a French tennis player. He tried to kiss a female television reporter live on the air following his loss on Monday. The good news is, I guess he lost, so he's out. I mean, it doesn't matter. He's kicked out of going to the French Open. He, however, has had his accreditation revoked while the French Tennis Federation investigates the incident. They say his behavior is reprehensible. Yeah. She says the reporter, she would have punched him had it not been a live feed. Oh my, oh my. Stay with us. I'll meet you on the other side.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Many books have been written regarding the law of attraction, but what if all these books are missing the most important information we can use when it comes to activating this law in our lives? The new book, It's Time to Align, the most powerful self-help book ever written by Alan Lottinger, takes a look at how the law of attraction really works and how it is being suppressed in our lives. Learn how to overcome this manipulation and how to experience alignment with the creative power of the universe. Get the new book, It's Time to Align, available at Amazon.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and you're listening to the best of America Tonight. Huge story about Dylann Roof. We've been talking about it ever since it happened, obviously, here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Very pleased to welcome to the show Dr. John Huber. He is the chairman for the Mainstream Medical Health, which is a nonprofit organization. It's worth me telling you about this, that brings what I like to say and hope for this always when I see what's happening, lasting and positive change to the lives of people that suffer from mental health issues. So he's the perfect person to talk to about Dylann Roof. First of all, Happy New Year, Dr. John.
Happy New Year, Kate. Happy New Year.
So Dylann Roof, now what we do know is that he's been found competent to be on trial and he's going to represent himself. Do you think that was the right conclusion?
Based on my review of South Carolina's proceedings for competency, yes. They did a competency evaluation initially, and then yesterday the judge followed up, which was within his rights to just to make sure before they go into sentencing, and apparently found him competent. In fact, gave him additional instructions that he's expected to follow, which are to not directly address the jury or the witnesses.
So. Yeah, but you know, it's why did he decide to represent himself? And maybe we don't know the answer to that question, but in dealing with people who have breakdowns or whatever happens, and I know we're talking about somebody who brutally ended the lives of way too many people.
Right.
But what possibly do you think could be going through his head of not having an attorney?
Well, I think by not having an attorney, he has, you know, a world stage now. And I think he does have some ideals that most Americans, most people in general don't believe in. And he's wanting a world stage to present those. And he may be trying to make him out as some sort of martyr, make his own person out as a martyr so that he's fighting for the cause. And this was for a reason kind of a mentality.
Yeah, as a mental health professional, when you, and you've been doing this for two decades, and we see these mass shootings, and let's put aside someone who's a terrorist for a second, but it's something that just, boy, we just don't understand it. It's like what happened in Sandy Hook. What kind of things are going through the minds of those people? And this is a generalization because we know everybody's mind is different.
Right.
But what have we found out?
Well, most mass shootings like this are not caused by someone who has what we would think of as a typical mental health issue. They're driven by oftentimes religious or political motivations. That doesn't mean there aren't some that are out there, like the Sandy Hook appears that there was just some severe psychological trauma going on with that individual. In this case, you know, I think he's got a message he's trying to present. I'm not saying he's not mentally ill. You can be mentally ill and still competent to stand trial. But I think he does have a few things that most of us in society would think were kind of delusional ideals about how the world should be running.
Do you think because of some of the stressors, the push for success, the world we live in, how fast, how technology has moved, and how we're hooked in, has that damaged the psyche of a lot of people who could be on the edge anyway?
We have over 330 million people in this country. We don't have that many mass killing. So I don't think of a lot of people know. I think it is increasing the stress level, especially to people who aren't used to that. I mean, our millennials, this is what they're used to. And this is how they've been taught to function, where you and I, you know, we used to sit down and pick up the newspaper in the morning and that kind of fill our news up for the day. And now it's just constantly there. And you're not reading anything in a lot of cases but headlines. So you're driven by that emotional curve you get there. And I think our population in general is having to adjust to that. So I think there are some problems to it, but I don't think most people are driven that way. I think a few of them, and Dylan may be one of those.
Are we doing enough for people as far as mental health is concerned? Has some of the veil been lifted with mental health issues?
I don't believe so. That's the whole reason why I started Mainstream Mental Health, is we gotta lift this stigma so we can talk about it and people realize that you're not the only one struggling with different issues, and we can be upfront with it and not worry about any type of retribution or fear that's common when we say, oh man, my cousin's on antidepressants. Ooh, is he suicidal? No, that doesn't mean he's suicidal. But we jump to extreme conclusions.
Boy, that's true. We do jump to extreme conclusions. One thing that I found, though, is, and I've seen this sadly, in too many people that I know, or people I know or that are connected to me in some way, they happen to be guys, but they, people don't realize what they're suffering with, and they think, oh, just can't, you know, because they look good, they look like they should be working, they look like they should be thriving, but they're struggling with some form of bipolar or something else, and
yes.
I hear people say too many times, just, you know, well, get meds, just put them on meds, if they just get the meds, but that's not, it's more than that, isn't it?
It's a lot more than that, you know, and meds, I think, are a second step. I think a first step is you need to go find a mental health professional and do some counseling and get yourself grounded. And if you're not able to do that, or if the problem's severe enough, then you move to that next level. But I think it should be medication and therapy, because the therapy is going to teach you tools that may allow you to step away from those medications at some point.
Yeah. What about more group therapy? That seems to be, I talked to someone the other day about this, that there was group therapy that's being offered at the VA, and that it would be good, except for that it doesn't match up with the everyday guy. It's people that have terrible PTSD, which thank goodness they have that, but it doesn't match up with everybody coming in. Is there more room to have more circles to share, do you think?
I think group therapy is an amazing way to do it, because it does kind of break that isolation.
Yep.
You think you're the only one suffering from this, and all of a sudden you go into a group where other people are suffering from that. But I think you're right. It is difficult to create these because you need people with like circumstances. I don't necessarily want to put someone with schizophrenia in a group with someone who's just suffering from depression or grieving, for that matter. They're kind of not compatible. Now, I'm not going to say it's not going to work every, or that will never work, but in most cases, you wouldn't want to mix them like that. You don't want to overwhelm somebody who doesn't have those kind of problems.
Yeah, makes sense to me. What if, I mean, obviously you're trying to do that. Do you feel like since you started what you're doing, do you feel like you're starting to make some inroads?
Well, it's a lot of education and talking with people, just like what you're making available for me right here. And hopefully we're getting through to people. You know, I think this kind of thing is a generational problem. It's going to take us some time to do it because there's so many people who just will not admit to having any problems. I know with my patients in the hospital, I serve two hospitals that are medical hospitals. They're not psychiatric, and oftentimes I get asked to go meet with patients because they're not willing to follow through with the procedure, which the hospital thinks may save their life. And I walk in there, and I get all kinds of rejection, and it takes a few minutes, and sometimes I'm able to get them to sit and listen, and we talk, and sometimes I'm not because they're so fearful of that word psychologist, and oh no, they think I'm crazy. And
yeah,
it's really a difficult thing sometimes, but I'm making strides. At least in my area now, I get calls from more and more physicians who are, hey, you know, this patient's not complying with treatment. Can you meet and see if there's something going on with him? And I've seen a change over the last 4 or 5 years within my local area, and now I'm just trying to move this out and make it nationwide.
Yeah, and to do that, like you said, you have to have more conversations like this one. I mean, we started off talking about Dylan Roof, and then you moved to what's going on in the world, and I just think that's so necessary to have it because I see it. I run across it all the time, and we're talking about people that, well, it doesn't matter economically, but we're talking about people,
right,
especially, I think, I've seen this, where you have people that have gone through school, it could be a woman, but it seems to be that I've run into a lot of guys with this, and they can't hold jobs, and they are getting attacked about it, and they don't know what to do, really, and they're not asking for help.
Well, they don't think they have a problem because they've always done this. And then the one emotion that's socially acceptable for men to express is anger, so that's what they do. They elevate everything to an anger level, and it never needs to go there. They just need to sit down and address the, maybe it's just basic communication and expressing how they're feeling and dealing with different assignments or things in their job placement. And that may be all they needed in the first place, but because of whatever's going on with them mentally, they're not able to make that step.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, interesting stuff. Keep fighting the good fight. Dr. John Huber, thanks so much, and thanks to all of you for listening to this Hour of America tonight.
Girl's killing it, her playlist is infinite. From the first minute, these feelings were imminent. No matter what you're saying, girl, you know I'll be listening. So tuned in to the things you're exhibiting. So clued in to the strings that you're fiddling. No movement, just me and you chilling. It's me and you living through every predicament.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories.
But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey Guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
Are you drowning in debt? Are you struggling to make minimum payments? Did you know that on average a household with at least one credit card struggles with over $10,000 in credit card debt? If this sounds like you, know that it's not your fault. Credit card debt happens to good people. Credit card companies lure you in with low introductory rates and low minimum payments. Before you know it, you're in over your head. We've helped thousands of good people just like you become debt-free with our Debt Reset program that will dramatically reduce your debt down to a fraction of what you owe. Our Debt Reset program is customized to get you debt-free in as little as 24 to 48 months with one low monthly payment. If you owe over $10,000 in credit card debt or even personal loans, call 800-912-6177. There are no upfront fees or out-of-pocket expenses. You don't pay a dime until we succeed. Call now to see how the Debt Reset Program can work for you. 800-912-6177. That's 800-912-6177. Again, 800-912-6177.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Wow, what a guest we have now. I'd love to get him on the court for a game of horse, and I guarantee Greg Stebbin has no idea what horse or pig or any of that is.
I know what horse is.
You do?
I just never get to H.
I'm so shocked by that. Jamal Crawford from the Clippers one time had a little game of horse with me. He whipped me in 2 seconds, and I think it was pretty funny. I think our next guest, Maurice Mo Evans, would do the same thing. I think many of you listening who are sports fans would recognize Mo Evans most recently with the Washington Wizards, and of course has quite a career as a retired American professional basketball player. Like I said, most recently with the Wizards. Sorry about that. I thought the Wizards were going to go the distance, maybe. And he also was a VP of the NBA Players Association. Mo, thanks so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me. And, you know, it's a great intro, especially even concerning, my man, just lost his train of thought. But he said he beat you in a horse. I mean, we play. He's probably one of the best shooters that I've ever played with and against. So it's just crazy to see how many shots he can make in a row. We used to shoot together when we both played for the Hawks. And it's just crazy to see like how consistent he can shoot the ball.
Yeah, no kidding. And like I said, for people who don't know, Jamal Crawford, you think even just a couple years ago, Sixth Man Award, he deserved that. I mean, he has what they call Mo right eyes. He can just, I think he can see all over the place on that floor.
But the thing for me is just like how calm, cool, and collected he is. I mean, I remember there was a game we played for the Hawks and we were playing against the Suns. We were down two, and Coach drew up a play, and he was literally, the play was for him. But I remember he was talking to somebody else, like during the, like Coach was drawing the play. And Coach was like, hey, Jamal, you paying attention? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, you know, goes out there and he shoots a three-pointer, and we only needed two, and he hit it and we won the game. And then he went back and finished the conversation, like, immediately after. And I was like, man, this dude has another year that I don't think, you know, most people recognize. So that's my Jamal story. But he, I mean, JC is one of the most consistent guys. He's a really good guy. Obviously has a long tenure in the league and deservingly so with the, all the great four-pointers that he's made and, you know, the six-man awards. I mean, he's great in the community. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You played for a bunch of teams, not just Washington and Atlanta, Orlando in the mix too, the Lakers, obviously. Did you have a favorite coach of all the people that you played for?
Interestingly, my favorite coach actually is the head assistant for the San Antonio Spurs, Ettore Messina. He was just fantastic. He actually coached me when I played in Europe. The 2 years I played in one for Treviso, Benetton Treviso, and he was my head coach there. He actually coached Manu Ginobili the year before. He's now been a long-time assistant in the NBA, but he's absolutely my favorite coach. And obviously, prior to that, Phil Jackson was a great coach. I had Flip Saunders. The late Flip Saunders was definitely one of my favorites in terms of I've had him three times in my career, Minnesota, Detroit, and Washington. So it was great to see his progression throughout his career. Me coming in as a rookie and then obviously seeing him before his, you know, before he trying to transition out of here, he was just one of the best offensive coaches I've ever been around.
You know, it's interesting, Mo, hearing you talk about coaches you played with, and you know, we can get a flavor of the influence of them on your life. I'm curious, you know, when you retired in 2012, you kind of lose this or leave. I'm speculating that you kind of leave this world that's designed to have you play at your best, and all of a sudden, I guess you're out on your own. Is that right? And what was that like for you?
Yeah, the transition is very difficult for a lot of players. And I was probably one of the more seasoned players in terms of I have multiple investments. I have a lot of business acumen. It's one of the reasons that I was one of the only players who was involved in every aspect of the labor negotiations. You know, I really, my knowledge of the sports business significantly increased during that process. But at the same time, so many players lack transitional skills. And so we're all suited to be basketball players. We heavily invest in that. We work out multiple times a day. We eat right. We do all these different things related to our specific sports. And this is all professional athletes. But even with a degree like I had, you don't have any direct experience. So as you're transitioning out, it's difficult to go find something unless you go into being an analyst or a coach or a GM or one of those, you know, niche jobs that so many athletes are vying for and jockeying for as they transition out. It's really difficult to see guys transition out. So that's one of the reasons that we started the company that we have, Every Level of Success, trying to help athletes better transition.
Yeah, and don't you think, Mo, I mean, what a great thing, because you're right. I've seen this over the years that I've covered sports, what happens when somebody gets out, and you nailed it. If they're not going into the business of sports where they're an analyst and they're on one of the big networks or they're doing coaching or GM or whatever, all of a sudden, what are they doing? So when you get a hold of somebody, no matter what the sport is, take us through that process. How does that work?
Well, the first thing that we do is we obviously we kind of help them redefine what success looks like for them. Because, again, we talk about it in terms of something that we feel like is applicable to them is we speak about their winning space. Like everybody knows that, again, your winning space is essentially your calling in life. And the thing that's interesting is most people, your winning space is only still seasonal. So most of these guys were in their winning space for 10 years. 15 years. It depends on however long they played. But now they have to be able to transition and take all of the uncommonalities, the skills, the experience, the relationships that they all accumulated in that sport, you know, in that winning space, and now transition them into the next spot. So we help them redefine success first and foremost. Then we connect them to our 360 Service Provider Network, the individuals who are experts in whatever area of life they're going to need that support in. For example, most of the individuals, one of the most challenging things they have transitioning, even as it relates to their skill sets and finding another job, most of those guys have liquidity. So it's not like they don't have financial concerns. But the challenge is because they've been so vested in their sport, now they're expected to come transition as a father as well and as a husband. And so now you want to wake up and go expect Kobe Bryant to start taking his kids to school shortly after retiring, and now going on date nights and doing all these different things. He's used to going to the gym. He's used to getting on the road, getting on the plane, and doing all these different things, but they don't have that excuse anymore. So most of the guys in the NBA, NFL, et cetera, the next transition, the most difficult thing they experience is divorce. Mm-hmm. And then half their assets are gone, and now the earning potential relative to the sport is at its lowest point. Now it damages their overall brand, and it's just like a downward spiral for most people that they don't ever, recover from.
I guess my question for you, Mo, and we're talking with Mo Evans. He's the president and CEO of Every Level of Success. The website is everylevelofsuccesscompany.com. And, of course, you know him from playing for the Washington Wizards, Atlanta, Orlando Magic, the LA Lakers, now having this company called Every Level of Success. You mentioned early on that you, in a sense, had an advantage as a player because you had a much broader business set of experiences. How did you know to pursue the business side of your life at the same time you were playing when so many players don't know to do that?
Well, I've always been an entrepreneur at heart. My father was an entrepreneur. He was a master plumber. He owned his own business the entire time when I was in high school growing up. And it was not the most scalable business at the time. It was very much a mom and pop, and you know, I kind of seen him and go through that struggle, but it was something that I was always passionate about, with business, especially sports business and sports technology. And unfortunately, I learned a lot of tough lessons at my own expense. And it was, you know, when I retired that I said, I can't keep learning these lessons, you know, in real time. I have to be able to accelerate my learning curve some way. That's when I started writing the book. And I also wanted to stop other athletes from putting our money, you know, one of the things that you learn is you can put money, for example, in an investment in a company, but one of the most difficult things I've seen is getting that money back, generating a return. And so most of the time I would put $500,000 in a company, and then I find myself having to go work for that same company to help them generate a return or scale their business model. So now all of a sudden, not only am I an investor, but I'm essentially paying to have a job that's unpaid, and then help them scale the model because they don't have the relationships that I had. So I just learned a lot just through trial and error. And now I'm a lot more seasoned as an investor, and I work with a lot of other athletes as they make those decisions and help them to kind of pinpoint things and challenges to look for.
Yeah, do you think a lot of athletes get trapped that same way where their entourage or people that have been around them hit them up for money and have ideas about businesses, and then they don't know how to really run the business they started, and they're coasting on your connections? And, boy, that is deadly, isn't it?
It is, and it's challenging because just like any person in business, period, you do business with people you like, you know, and you trust.
Right.
And unfortunately, the people that athletes like, know, and trust don't have much more knowledge or skills concerning some of the businesses that they go in. And that's why, you know, even the comments about LeBron James's crew, at least LeBron has helped them get direct experience in those related fields so that they can now be educated and be qualified to handle those certain, you know, business opportunities or manage, opportunities for him, period. And that's one thing that you can give him credit for, because LeBron James is probably one of the best I've seen do it. I've seen Magic Johnson has done a great job transitioning. Junior Bridgman has done a great job. Chauncey Billups is now doing a really great job in terms of managing both the business and the transitional process. So there's a couple of names that I've seen have done it well. Jamal Mashburn is another one who's done it extremely well. So there's a few of the athletes who have really transitioned, you know, very, very well.
Mo, we just have a minute or two, and this is, of course, on a radio feature called Forbes Books at Bedtime, so we have to ask, what keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up at night is just nothing, really. I have a lot of peace. I get great sleep. I'm not a warrior because I'm really trusted. I'm really rooting, but if there were something to keep me up, it's just reaching my fullest potential. I have a lot of opportunities, and I have a lot of different skill sets and experience, and just making sure that I'm living my best life and living it for myself and for my family, as opposed to giving the best of my time to everything else and then just living life with my leftover time. So that's something that's very important to me.
Love it. You sleep well at night. Mo Evans, President and CEO of Every Level of Success. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you all. Have a great day.
You too.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Do you know what's lurking in your water? More than 200 contaminants could be sitting there, just waiting for your glass. With the ProPure water filter, start enjoying clean and great-tasting water today. ProPure filters, independently tested, latest water filter technology. ProPure systems do not require electricity and are easy to set up and easy to use. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
This is Kate Delaney, and you're listening to the best of America Tonight. One of my favorite people to talk to is a guy named John Register. If you haven't heard him, you need to hear him speak. In fact, go to johnregister.com and you can, you know, learn all the details about this tremendous person. He was an All-American track star, then he was an amputee, and then he overcame that and became a Paralympic medalist. And just an amazing, energetic, engaging, I mean, there's so many adjectives I could use to sum up this guy, but so positive, and you can feel his warmth and positivity when you see him. John, it's good to catch up with you again.
You too, Kate. Great to be on your show again.
So let's talk about, you know, we kind of have, I think a lot of people, since we'll talk about speaking first, a lot of people have this mentality of victimization. Something happens to them, unforeseen. Your life is going on, and it's great, and you've got that plan, and you had a plan, and you were on the right track, so to speak. And then what happens when you get hit with this wicked curveball? I guess you have two choices, right? To either bathe in being a victim or come out of it and emerge maybe even greater. And do you feel like that's what happened to you?
Yeah, we do have a couple of choices because we all will go through some type of adversity in our lives, and how we handle it is either going to push us towards, victory and success and metal podium performances, or we're going to go down to a downward spiral. And I experienced both of those when I had my injury as the eighth fastest 400 meter hurdler in the country and some 25th in the world at that time. In the speaker community, as we say, anytime you have something tragic happen to you, you have a story.
So you did have a story, so you found that story in all seriousness. That's crazy. I want to tell people here, because they know how I feel about veterans and people who serve, and we have had so many soldiers on our show and so many others involved in the military, and you were part of Operation Desert Storm, right? And that kind of disrupted your training program.
That's correct. I joined the military for very personal and selfish reasons. I wanted to continue to run track and field. I was a four-time All-American at Arkansas, and the Army had a program. It's called the Army's World Class Athlete Program. There are actually 10 soldiers on the Rio team this year, as well as two Paralympic athletes on the Rio team that are still on active duty serving in this program. On my way to my training, I got called up for Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and I was terrified, went to the war, came back without a scratch, and then began my preparation training for the 1992 Olympic Games.
Yeah, and that's when you had your accident. Tell everyone what happened.
Well, I was training for the games after 92. I was 17th in 400-meter hurdles. I had a real good shot at making the team in 1996. I went across the hurdle in a training session and landed awkwardly, dislocating my left knee, severing the artery behind the kneecap, and then 5 days later, making the tough decision to actually amputate the leg because of poor circulation and the arterial blood flow, which, of course, moves blood away from the heart to the lower portions of our body. I had to make that tough call. And it wasn't easy. I mean, the pain actually spoke for me, but after the amputation, I looked down at my 29-year-old life, and all of a sudden, I was changed. I was different, and I had to begin the process of creating a new normal.
Yeah, and it didn't take long, actually, for you, John. I'm not surprised because you're such a driven person. But what was it, 18 months later, you're competing in the Paralympic Games in Atlanta?
Right, and 18 months prior, I didn't even know about the Paralympic Games. I didn't know there was this parallel games for athletes with physical disabilities and visual impairments. It was my wife who actually not really told me about the games, but actually put me in the mindset to get back to a healthy and active lifestyle. And as I was struggling, as many of us do with our challenges, she said, you know what, we're going to get through this together. It's just our new normal. Those were the words that pushed me to say, I can't wallow in what has happened, what's transpired, because that leg is past. And I didn't overcome the amputation because if I'd have overcome the amputation, I'd have my leg back, right? Mm-hmm. I overcame those things that were the stigma I had against myself, the stigma of other people saying what I could or could not do if they were in my situation. And why those stigmas were there in the first place. Those are the things I had to overcome. And I also had a great avenue of sport and swimming to help me get back to a healthy and active lifestyle, and I just happened to fluke up, mess up, and actually make the Paralympic swim team.
Yeah, and you know, it's great, too. So you make that team, and then there you are at the Paralympics in Sydney, Australia. What was that like for you? That had to be awesome.
The Paralympic Games in Sydney was probably the best experience of my sporting life, not just because of the competition and that we trained for. In my case, this was 20 years of culmination, an injury, an amputation, and then getting back and on the track. And now here I am, you know, 6.5 years post-injury, and I'm competing in the long jump for a medal. And I wound up winning silver by, the gold medal was 4.5 inches farther than I jumped. And to have that experience with all my family there, with an amazing crowd of Australians that were supporting every athlete, this whole movement of just celebrating who we are as humans was indescribable, that feeling. And it wasn't just for the athletes, it was also for those that were witnessing this. I call it the what to wow, because Paralympic sports. Some people think they confuse it with Special Olympics, and it's not. It's a difference, a total difference in governance structure. It's not participatory. Special Olympics is. This is gold, silver, and bronze. People are going to bite and scratch and scrape and train as hard as they can to be the best in the world. And when you see that moving forward, this what to wow is, what is this all about? What are we watching here? And then you see a person with no legs run underneath 11 seconds for a 100-meter dash. You say, wow, that was amazing. Or you see somebody swimming about a second slower than Michael Phelps, and they're missing a leg. These are amazing, incredible athletes, and they don't think of themselves as something special or superhuman. They're just doing what everyone else in society wants to do, and that's be treated with dignity and respect. The last growth is that we go from what to wow, and then oh, and that's where I want to get to with Paralympic sport is, of course they should be doing this. It shouldn't be any different than us celebrating, you know, when LeBron won, you know, for the Cavs this year in basketball, or Steph Curry shooting lights out in threes. If you practice at excellence, you will have excellence. And that's in any walk of life. I don't care if you're a CEO or if you're opening up doors as the frontline leader. If you practice it, you will become that which you want to be.
Wow, great words. Practice it, you'll become that which you want to be. And you said at Paralympics, because I've been watching them for a long time, are incredibly competitive. It's, like you said, not to be confused with Special Olympics for some reason. Initially, I think people just didn't realize what Paralympics was, but now I think there's no question about it. It has become bigger and bigger and bigger, and if you watch the Olympics, they're emphasizing it. They're talking about it, right?
Oh, that's exactly right. I mean, you can watch, you know, in an American audience, if you're watching and you're paying attention to the commercials that are on right now, they're teasing up the 66 hours that NBC is going to be showing the games that start on September 7th in Rio de Janeiro. So you're going to, companies are starting to align with social causes around Paralympic athletes because they realize that these athletes are training at the same rate and sometimes even harder and have greater physical ability than their Olympic counterparts. So, for example, BMW is unveiling their wheelchair racing chair for our athletes who are going to be competing on the track. It's an amazing. They have jumped the game in wheelchair racing design by 10 years, at least 10 years. It's amazing. They built out the bobsled, the two-man bobsled for our men's and women's bobsled team. So we're using technology to advance it forward.
Wow. Love it. All right, we'll be looking for that for sure, John, and we appreciate you spending some time with us. I'm going to tell everyone again, go to johnregister.com. Great speaker for people listening that have businesses. Everybody's clamoring to get him in their house. John, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you a bit later.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.